Jill. Charlie's Angels. How about Frank?
Lord, what are that angels? Where are the redeemed?
Yes.
You can sit on the front pew there.
Oh, okay.
Not today. I mean, we are in full, but, you know, that's not the song we're singing.
We got the camera. We need to turn the camera on.
Got a pretty snazzy lineup. I saw it myself.
Johnny is here. He can turn the camera on.
Okay. All right, onliners. How are you next?
So, you didn't... I don't know if you heard. Yesterday, somebody...
We're driving.
They can hear about this.
Yeah.
No, I didn't hear that.
No, I didn't get to that part. Glad to have you sing along. Chime floor, Linda.
Jessica's not going to be here.
Welcome, onliners.
Jessica, I hope you're online. What's wrong? I don't know. She just texted me this afternoon. I love it.
Song selection provided by Jenny Allball in honor of the 8th anniversary of the first BBF services attended by the Allball clan, John and Jill, as of this past Sunday, and Jenny and Johnny as of today.
Happy anniversary.
Chosen is 42 in the praise book. Wicked, wicked world. We will give our instruments time to get organized. Johnny, did you fly in from Chillicothe today, or are you still local today?
Yeah, going down.
No, I go on Thursday and Fridays.
So we have a pumpkin head and a bee in the bonnet.
Oh, good. Linda's on. Hi, Linda.
Linda's especially made BBF hat, so
she had to have one of hers.
All right, page 42, Wicked, Wicked World. It's a wicked, 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 wicked world that we live in, filled with wicked people raising wicked little kids, people marching in parades declaring pride and sin. Leaves me only wondering when the end begins, when the loving, just, and holy King of righteousness returns. The righteous will be taken and all the wicked burn. Justice will be meted and the just receive reward at the end of this wicked, wicked world. There's a devil, 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 devil walking to and fro. His minions work against you no matter where you go. But Satan is defeated, the fallen Lucifer. His destiny, destruction, and his judgment is assured. When the loving, just, and holy King of righteousness returns, the righteous will be taken and all the wicked burned. Justice will be meted and the just receive reward at the end of this wicked, wicked world. It's an evil, 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 evil time to be alive. Just before unleashing Revelation chapter 5, the vials, seals, and trumpets are ready to unfold. But it's a happy ending, and the ending is foretold. When the loving, just, and holy King of righteousness returns, the righteous
was it you said about something about the blunt lyrics? What was it you said?
I don't know. Let's see. Harvard was
ferociously blunt or something.
I said insanely.
Insanely blunt.
That's more what I would say. I feel we used ferocious so much. Insanely. Probably insanely.
Paige Chin is the second selection.
Harvard was giving us his first impressions of you, and so I was like, okay, well.
This was the song that we sang. We have the recording.
Yeah.
And the cackling of Jill in the background as we sang it. John 14 and Acts 4, but it's really, it's a serious statement. But people just aren't used to insanely blunt lyrics like this. John 14 and Acts 4:12. You don't believe these, then you're gonna go to hell. You won't get away with calling Jesus a liar. And all who reject the way end up in the fire. God has given us all free will. We can choose to run or just stand still. We can read his word or just let it lie. Trust in him or run till we die. One of these days judgment will come. When the day comes, there's no place to run. John 14 and Acts 4:12. You don't believe these, then you're gonna go to hell. You won't get away with calling Jesus a liar. If John would have asked before you came that night, I wonder if this is a church that'll preach on hell. You would have said, I don't know if they preach on it, but they sing about it. All right, page 52, third requested song. Oh, my tears.
I'm glad Mark and Jessica are listening. Hello, people.
Yeah, this is Dad's request.
52. All my tears.
We miss you guys.
Amen. Charlie and Olivia and Ezra and Bronwyn.
Vivian, Woo, Baby Woo.
And others who can't be with us tonight.
Yes, yeah, three already.
I know.
Time flies and having fun.
I know. Look at Dad. Lord bless you and him as well. Look at that.
All right. Musicians, take their seats, and onliners, if you haven't already, send your request in to bbfohio@protonmail.com. And if you're in the house and want a prayer card, let us know. And Janie is going to pass those out. As we'll do a sound check.
Come right up.
Camera crew.
Hey, Dad. Hi. Okay. I will survive.
Jenny, is that one on?
Let me check. Sure.
Well, either yes. Jenny. Okay.
This is on. This is
green.
Not on.
Yes. Is it green?
Now it is.
Okay.
Okay.
Tap one. Do it again. Okay. I can see a little green light when you do that.
Okay.
And can you check, make sure you got the camera all zoomed in right? As we turn off our cell phone ringers. Just a reminder, we had to do a little bit of work with the bbfohioradio.com link, but it should be working tonight. So, obviously not during a live stream. You don't want to be listening to that. But anytime, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, go to bbfohio.com if you want to make it easy. And just click on that bbfohioradio.com link on your phone or on your computer in a browser window. It'll come up. And you can listen to it. If you go to the website, bbfohioradio.com, there's a page with other options, but they don't seem to work for certain phones or, you know, that kind of thing. And I don't know enough about it to say.
Thanks, Zach.
And Brother Harmon has his hands full right now, so we're not pestering over things like that for the time being. With that, we're going to be in Hebrews 1. If you want to get your Bibles out and be ready, we're going to have a study about angels. This is the first of at least three studies we're going to do. And before we get to that, we'll have our current events update. Please hold your questions and comments to the end. I'm going to show you a little video clip.
Oh, yeah.
We have a little good news, at least for some of our English brethren.
This morning, the Cabinet concluded that because of the extraordinary booster campaign, together with the way the public have responded to the Plan B measures, we can return to Plan A in England and allow Plan B regulations to expire. Yeah. As a result, from the start of Thursday next week, mandatory certification will end. Yeah. Organisations can, of course, choose to use the NHS COVID pass voluntarily, but we will end the compulsory use of COVID status certification in England. Yeah. From now on, the government is no longer asking people to work from home.
Yeah.
And people should now speak to their employers about arrangements for returning to the office. And having looked at the data carefully, the Cabinet concluded that once regulations lapse, the government will no longer mandate the wearing of face masks anywhere.
Over his nose.
Mr. Speaker, from tomorrow we will no longer require face masks in classrooms, and the Department for Education will shortly remove national guidance on their use in communal areas. In the country at large, we will continue to suggest the use of face coverings in enclosed or crowded spaces, particularly when you come into contact with people you don't normally meet, but we will trust the judgment of the British people.
Imagine that.
We will no longer criminalise anyone who chooses not to wear one. The government will also ease restrictions further on visits to care homes. And my right honourable friend, the Secretary of State for Health and Social Care, will set out plans in the coming days.
So they're already talking about that happening here with the Biden administration. The reason why they're talking about doing this is because the economists, both left and right of the political spectrum, are telling them, you better do something. This thing's going to crash big time. And one thing they'll do is lose big time in November, and the Republicans will control both houses if that happens. But folks, there's been times in history when things get bad enough, they string them up. And these guys know that is possible. I'm not calling for it. I'm just saying that's a historical fact. And these guys know it. So, with that bit of good news for the believers and brethren across the pond, I just want to have a little fun. We did some cartoon Sunday. Today I'd like to do some meme reviews instead of news. Because memes are more accurate than today's news.
That's right.
The older generations may have been a lot of things, but at least we weren't offended by pancake syrup. Pilgrim.
What?
Mrs. Butterworth. The woke crowd was all offended by... and I told you, they're racist. Mrs. Butterworth is a black woman who's a hard worker. And her syrup was successful. People liked it. Liberals are racist. And they treat blacks like they're still on the plantation. They treat Mexicans like they're just slave labor. And they treat them like they are incapable. And so they hold them down with all their giveaways and such. And you'll find that most successful black men in America, I'm not talking about, there's a lot of, the poverty pimps like Jesse Jackson and those guys, they've made their millions. But if you look at people who have made money through business and they're black or Hispanic, most of them are conservative. There's a reason. You won't fix anything by posting memes. Response: the American Revolution was mostly planned in pubs and was popularized using pamphlets.
That's right.
Ooh, facts.
The internet is the modern pub, and the pamphlets or tracts are now memes. And that's why they've tried to silence those who use the internet and memes to do a little thing called freedom of speech. But the Democrats are communists, and they want to stop freedom of speech. Joe Biden is a communist.
Yeah.
Commie Harris. Yeah. Oh, Kamala Harris is a communist.
That's right. Beijing Biden is Commie Harris.
Yeah.
The battery's running low.
Oh, I didn't plug it in. That's a problem. You hand it to me and I'll plug it in. Things work better when you plug them in. You know that? Amen? Yeah. Thank you. If you can read this, I have not killed you yet. Dr. Fauci. I love that.
Shocking.
The party that thinks men can get pregnant wants to control misinformation on the internet. Is this not the truth? I mean, it's... Here's Commie Harris. It is time for us to do what we have been doing, and that time is every day. Every day it is time for us to agree that there are things and tools that are available to us to slow this thing down.
That's a real quote.
That's a real quote. It makes no sense. She's been hanging around Joe Biden too long. She's starting to talk like it. I can't really tell which Biden has the most drugs pumped into him.
Gee, I don't know. They both look the same.
That's his son.
That's Joe Biden's son with a crack pipe hanging out of his mouth.
Well, they look identical.
I posted this one myself. I wanted to share it today. You don't deserve freedom if you won't speak out against the communist Democrat mob.
That's so true.
Here's a couple of before and afters. Before? After. How many saw Tucker Carlson originated that one, his program?
That's so funny.
Before, this is America before Joe Biden. America after Joe Biden. And that's Matthew McConaughey. He actually did that to himself for a part in a movie. That's not makeup or anything.
Right.
But that's a great before and after. America before and after Joe Biden. All right, that's fine. So as far as the mandates and everything in America, I believe that they're going to continue to let up. And in red states, as they call it, they shouldn't call them red states. I don't know who made that up. The red states should be the left-wing liberal Democrats because they're the communists. But the news media didn't want to be too obvious about them being communists. So they're the ones that came up with this stuff, I believe. But the red states will continue to at least become a lot more freer. And the blue states will have to if they don't want to completely collapse. Jill?
Well, something John and I noticed when we were at a museum about the Civil War and Burlington, they had so many political cartoons in the newspapers, and they were all over the wall in this one place. And that's what they're doing now with the memes and stuff.
And that's why your public schools won't tell you that Abe Lincoln was a communist. And he suspended free speech rights. He arrested newspaper editors. He suspended habeas corpus. He ran an Ohio congressman out of the country. Vallandigham, I think was his name. And Karl Marx's Communist Manifesto had been better known at that time, then he would have been labeled a Marxist. He was basically setting up the country using the government to push the railroad. He made railroad barons very rich and everything. So that's why people like Barack Obama love to quote and refer to Abe Lincoln. Now he gets credit for some good things, but that's why the leftists love to bring up Abe Lincoln, because he did a lot of the same things. Suspended free speech and habeas corpus and all that sort of thing. In times of war, we've seen that over and over with FDR did it. Woodrow Wilson did it. They all become communists when there's a war all of a sudden. And the Bill of Rights becomes a bad thing, and freedom becomes a bad thing. And instead of just going after the bad guys, they go after everybody. But yeah, that's what's going on. And of course, we just had the Martin Luther King Jr. Day Monday, and they don't tell you the truth about him either. He was a Marxist, a neo-Marxist is what people like to call him. He rejected the gospel of Jesus Christ, denied the virgin birth, denied that Jesus rose from the dead, preached the social gospel that was just about works and making the world a better place to go to hell in. But he was no more reverend than is Jesse Jackson or any of these other poverty pimps. But you get in trouble for saying that unless you're black. I mean, that's the way it is.
Yeah.
I'm just one of those guys that don't care. Yeah. Get mad at me, I don't care. Prove I'm telling something that isn't true, and then I'll apologize. I'll stop saying it. And one of the things we don't know a lot about MLK is because they took his files and sealed them. They're sealed to the year 2025, and now they're trying to push another 50 years out.
Wow. Wouldn't that be something if they actually released them?
Yeah, there's a lot sealed about JFK, and they've been sprinkling them out, but there's still a lot of stuff sealed regarding JFK. But this is 1963. Why can't you let that stuff out? Because they're hiding something. Are you going to say something?
Yeah. Well, I've seen the picture that has Martin Luther King and Jesse Jackson at a communist meeting.
Yeah.
With all the big boys.
Oh, yeah.
So that was out there. The cops grabbed that one.
That's what's in those files. Sorry, I don't mean to gross you out, but they had
a
coffee ground that was trying to kill me.
I mean, I warned you.
Happens with tea bags, do you know?
He did meet with the Pope 6 months before he died.
He what?
He met with the Pope 6 months before he died.
Who did? MLK?
Martin Luther King.
So, boy, we're going to learn a lot of the Great White Throne about all that stuff that we're not able to learn right now. All right, let's get into our Bible study, the Word of Prayer. And we'll... what are you looking at me like that for?
You're looking at me like that for.
I'm just curious. I thought we'd make sure it wasn't something, you know.
I'm trying to help.
All right, Brother Jim, would you open the Bible study prayer?
Lord, Father, we just ask for blessing over the service tonight. Thank you for everyone present, Lord, and everyone still coming. Lord, we just pray for Pastor to lift him up, Lord, and he's gotten ready for us for the flock, Lord. We just pray you'll open our hearts and minds to receive from you. We ask all this in Jesus Christ's name.
Amen.
Amen.
Angels, Hebrews 1, we're going to look at verses 13 and 14. You can get your Bibles there if you're not already. Hebrews 1, 13 and 14. Now, you may have strong opinions about angels. We don't care about opinions. Amen?
My wife's an angel.
Huh?
My wife's an angel.
Well, that's, I'm not going to argue with that.
Smart man. Smart
yeah. Man. I'm dumb, but I ain't stupid. But one of the crazy things when you talk about angels, I just say this from the very start, people get really hostile. It's a strange thing. And they have their opinions about it. I'm going to tell you up front, if you're basing your belief on angels from the book of Enoch, you're a fool.
Amen.
And that's what a lot of people today will argue about angels, and they're getting their information from a book that was from about the 4th century A.D., it was written by people pretending to be Enoch, so they're liars. And none of the information you get in there, outside of what they quote in the scripture from, comes from anything more than a man's imagination. But there are people, especially, originally I saw it among New Agers, but now it's among professing Christians. And there's Raphael and all these named angels that the Bible doesn't mention. So let's read. And we're going to start off with one of the things that almost every evangelical has been lied to about when it comes to angels. We'll start right off after we read Hebrews 1, 13 and 14. If you dare, read it with me. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Amen. Now, just to point out some of the silliness you get from people, is that there's actually, somebody sent me a picture they drew where Jesus is sitting on the right hand of God the Father, and God's got his right hand up, and Jesus is sitting there. And he's kind of miniature, too. That's an unbiblical picture. This isn't talking about him sitting on the literal right hand of God the Father. God is spirit. So God the Father doesn't walk around in a body like ours anyway. When he talks about the right hand of God, we'll see later, the Bible talks about him covering us with his feathers. God's not a big chicken. He doesn't have feathers. That's all figurative language. And so is this, sit on my right hand, meaning on his right hand. He's sitting at the right hand of God the Father. Ephesians says the same thing. So you may have been told that an angel is... Let me ask you, and this isn't going to reflect badly on you. I'm not saying you claim this. I'm asking, what were you taught? The word angel, what's it mean, or what are they said to be? Anybody?
Well, I had the benefit of having a mother.
No, that's why I'm asking what if you were taught the right thing, you can say that.
Yeah, that they were, they're created by God.
And no, I mean, this is like a one word.
They're men. They look like men.
That's true. We'll get to that. Yes.
Wings touched by an angel and
yeah, those are all examples of the bad versions of angels. Okay, that's not my question. My question was, what were you taught? Some of you, I know you know this and you're afraid to say it, but I'm not going to pick one.
The ministering spirit.
That's the Bible answer. But what most people are taught is that.
Yeah, that's not bad.
And I know because I've listened to about 100 messages on this over 30 years, and I took a college course and read 2 textbooks, and they all said that, well, all but, be fair, there are a few that didn't, but it was a wake up to me. I'm like, oh, what? I was taught in my college course that they're messengers. The word angelos in Greek means messenger. Well, here's the problem. It's wrong. Now, that's not to say angels are never messengers. But have you ever delivered a message? Raise your hand if you've delivered a message at some time in your life, any time. Kim's the only one who had it. You have it? Huh? Oh, she has. Okay, I was going to say, I thought that everybody in the room, I thought there was a couple, but she did too. So every one of us have delivered a message. Does that make you a messenger?
I'm a messenger.
No. You're a human being.
An angel. It makes me a messenger.
You're a human being, and you are a Christian. Amen?
Uh-huh.
Does that mean all Christians are messengers? That a Christian means, you know, that's the kind of ludicrous type of so-called scholarship that develops into what they then teach about angels. That definition of messenger, by the way, came from a man-made lexicon, not from the Bible. Lexicons are man-made. You know, a lexicon is basically a fancy word for a dictionary. Mm-hmm. But it sounds more scholarly if I'm looking it up, not in a dictionary, a Greek dictionary. I looked it up in the lexicon.
Yeah,
it sounds like, you know, some kind of a, you know, character in Lord of the Rings or something. But here are the dangers of lexicons. Number one, they're the work of fallible human beings. This book is a work where God used fallible human beings, but He gave them His words. Amen. He breathed His words. They are given by inspiration of God. Therefore, what's in this book is not fallible. It is infallible. Every other book ever made by man is fallible. And yet there's people out there who treat lexicons and other things like they're infallible. Some people get totally screwed up because they believe they treat the writings of the church fathers as infallible. They couldn't be. They contradict each other in thousands of places. There's only one infallible book on the planet. Number two, lexicons replace Bible-based definitions with pagan use definitions. If you want a lexicon, the closer thing to a real Bible lexicon is the Webster 1828 dictionary, because he based his definitions largely upon the Bible and even used Bible verses to prove his point. That's what a lexicon should be. Now, it's not infallible. There's places, few places I found where I think he's a little off. I pointed out one last week. But it's the best dictionary in English. Right. But it sounds, you know, fancier. The third danger of lexicons is that they're used to change the Bible by cults and heretics. You will hear a guy get up and read the King James Bible. It used to be more often you'd see this. Now so many of them have changed to the new versions. But there's a time where almost all the churches would use the King James Bible, but they'd tear the King James text up by quoting lexicons. And those lexicons are corrupt. And also, I want to say this before I move. I should have said this about point two. They are literally taking garbage. They are finding garbage in places like Egypt with Greek written on it. A lot of times it's not even Koine Greek. It's classical Greek or other forms of Greek in dialects and that kind of thing. And they'll base on some Egyptian pagan who doesn't even know God, uses a word a certain way, and then they'll introduce that definition they got from a garbage heap in Egypt. The reason why they're still around is because Egypt is so dry in certain areas that when something gets buried, it'll last centuries and 2,000 or 3,000 years.
Yeah.
And so they find these little pieces of things where they found like grocery lists, to-do lists, letters, you know, just written to somebody, notes of sorts, different kinds. And they'll take the definition from that thing they found in the garbage and then put it into the lexicons, and then a preacher will see that, and he'll like that word better than what's in the word, and then he'll change it. And that's what your sermons are giving you all over the country, week in and week out. It's pathetic. It's satanic. It's blasphemous.
Amen.
So the fourth reason then is that lexicon also, the dangers of lexicons, they also breed doubt, or a lexicon also breeds doubt in the minds of believers regarding the King James Bible, because people who don't even know Greek really can't even read the word in the lexicon, but they'll look at the anglicized version of that word, and they'll read it in the English transliterated from the Greek, and then they'll look at the definition and they'll read their King James and they'll say, wait a minute, that's different. And then some people then get real arrogant about it and like, yeah, it's a King James. I could show you 100 places where it's wrong. Based on what? Based on my use of a pagan, fallible lexicon.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
I've heard him do it.
The Bible gave us God's definition in our text. Amen, Jenny?
Amen.
Amen, Gam. You both that's what you tried to get me to say before I was ready. But you're right. That's the whole thing is God tells us what an angel is right there in what we just read.
Yep.
Angel. Here's my the Greg lexicon. Angel, noun, ministering spirits, ministering to heirs of salvation. That's what it ought to say. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says in verse 14 that angels, it says, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? And we're going to have a study on that. Some of you might have your minds blown like I did the first time I studied this stuff out. The Bible has its own inbuilt dictionary. And I'll say this too before we go to a couple things I recommend for further study is that sometimes you may have difficulty, you know, identifying that inbuilt definition. Not all of us are Columbo. And, we don't, some of us just aren't good at that kind of thing, but you get better at it the more you do it. But you should only consult dictionaries when you can't find the definition right there in the text. A lot of times one verse will say something, and then if you read the next verse, the definition is right there, just like we just saw. Verse 13 brings up angels. Verse 14 is your definition. So it's pretty easy there. But for further study, because we don't have time to get in depth on this, but there's one book called The Language of the King James by Gail Riplinger. The subtitle, Discover Its Hidden Built-In Dictionary. We've got a copy, if it's not checked out, in our church library. I have a copy at home, and that's one of several. There's also another book that I believe we have, if it's not checked out, is Archaic Words in the Authorized Version by Lawrence Vance, where he gives the definition to all these so-called archaic words. And then he also shows that they introduce archaic words in the NIV and the ESV and the others so that they can get a copyright. So when they say they're putting out new versions to get rid of the archaic words in the King James, and yet they introduce new ones in the new versions. And he proves it. He's got the list right there in that book. She might as well. I can't remember if it's in that one or not. Another book specifically about lexicons, and again, we've had a copy of that on the shelf. I make sure anybody who calls themselves a preacher gets a copy. Amen?
Amen.
John's got a copy of it. And anybody that comes here and is claimed to be a preacher, I make sure they get this. It's called Hazardous Materials, Greek and Hebrew Study Dangers, The Voice of Strangers by, again, Gail Riplinger. And she documents the corrupt men and materials used to develop lexicons. And not every man is corrupt, but there are a bunch of them who are. And all the lexicons are corrupt. They are.
Amen.
It's just a fact. So don't base your idea of angels on art either.
Oh, yeah.
And that'll really mess you up. I mean, TV, Mary mentioned a couple of those shows, Touched by an Angel and Highway to Heaven. Real bad stuff. How many, was it, Heaven Can Wait, and those kind where they go to heaven and they're like, you can't come in yet, you've got to go back and do more works. Like, totally not biblical, we don't get into heaven by our works. Then I saw one yesterday, I can't remember the name of it. It was a pretty big movie at the time it came out. He goes to heaven, but then is caught or cut off by Satan, who makes a deal with him. That Satan will let him into heaven if he goes back and possesses a very good, respectable judge and does bad things.
Wow.
I mean, that's Hollywood. That's what I'm saying. They'll go to all kinds of lengths to screw up everybody's head. And artists have been the same way through the years. That right there is cute, but it's not biblical. If when you think of angels, you think there's little babies around with wings, you know, and people picture Cupid, you know. That's not a biblical angel at all. This one, attractive, but not biblical. We'll see in a moment that there are no female angels according to the scripture.
Amen.
And they don't have those big wings and they don't wear dresses. They wear white raiment. Again, female with wings, not. That's just not a biblical picture of an angel. This one is just downright blasphemous. A lot of the angels, and I picked that one because the least sensual, the least, most of these female angels you see drawn, they look like a mixture of, I don't know, hee-haw and, you know what I mean?
Play angels.
Yeah, like Playboy Bunny type, yeah. That's what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
And so you got to be careful. You do research in angels and you make sure you're the safe. I have my safe search on permanently. But you might have a reason why you take it off or whatever. But have your safe search on. You do searches on angels. It gets really ugly. And I know that because somebody else told me not to, you know, and so I didn't. But the ark gets even more absurd and blasphemous, as I mentioned, but we won't go there. The only way to have an accurate idea of angels is to stick to the Bible. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. So scripture with scripture. Number one, angels are ministering spirits to the saints and to Jesus on earth. I want to nail that point down. Mark 1:13, Jenny Miller. And Luke 22:41-44. Well, let's go around this way. Jim, can you get that one? Luke 22:41-44. So Jenny, read for us Mark 1:13.
And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beast, and the angels ministered unto him.
Okay.
That's it.
The angels ministered unto who?
Jesus.
Yeah, ministering spirits. So, Jim, Luke 22:41-44.
And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground.
Yeah. So, and we're going to talk more about that in another study, but time doesn't allow us to run the 283 references to angel and angels in the Bible to see their ministry to men and Jesus over and over in this study. And we wouldn't be able to do that in probably 20 or 30 studies, but that's a very interesting use of your time. Just do a search on angel and angels and just run the references. And we'll look at angels and Jesus and then angels and the saints in future studies. Number two, angels on earth appear as men, always. Kim, if you could look up Genesis 18, verses 1 and 2. Johnny, Genesis 18:22. And Dan, if you could look up Genesis 19:1. And what we're going to see is this was when Abraham was visited by the three. And we'll let you hear what they turn out to be. Go ahead.
And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he had saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground.
So you notice there that these three are called men, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, go on down the chapter to verse 22. And Brother Johnny will read that for us.
And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord.
So one of those three is called the Lord. And we'll look at that again some other time. That's a theophany, a Christophany. That's Jesus. Now the other two heading for Sodom are called men as well in this instance. And Dan, read Genesis 19:1.
And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground.
So the two men in what Johnny read are called two what?
Angels.
Angels in what Dan read. So angels, and that, of course, you also noticed there was no mention of wings. If they had wings, they wouldn't have been described as men. And again, we don't have time to run all the references, but you always see angels referred to as men, and they don't mention wings. Johnny?
Might it also be good to also add to that list the, I think it's verse 19:5 of Genesis there, just to further confirm that.
Go ahead and read it.
In 19:5, well, this is just said by the Sodomites. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came into thee this night?
Right.
Bring them out unto us.
So we're told they're angels and men right there in Genesis 19, 1 and 5, by comparison. So there's no wings mentioned, and they're always men and never female, and you'll have to run the references to try to prove me wrong on that, and I always encourage you to do so. Number three, oh, again, angels on earth never have wings. We're going to look at Matthew 28, 1 through 3, Mary, and Janie, Mark 16, 5 through, and 6, and look it up now, and then you can take your notes later, and then John Allball, Acts 1, 10, and 11. So, Mary, if you're there, read Matthew 28, 1 through 3.
In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow.
Any wings?
No wings.
I didn't hear any wings. No hippo yawning. It's contagious. Mark 16, 5 and 6, Janie.
Okay. Oh, 5 and 6. I went further down. Sorry. Okay, 5 and 6. And entering into the sepulcher, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in long white garment, and they were affrighted.
Mm-hmm.
I did say it right. Okay, and he saith unto them, be not affrighted, ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which it was crucified. He is risen, he is not here. Behold, the place where they laid him.
So it was a young man in white raiment. So, and no mention of wings?
No.
All right. No, I'll take your word for it.
No wings.
Acts 1, 10 and 11, John Allball.
Just so you know, the good angels have right wings and left wings. Bad angels have left wings.
I'll take that. All right, Acts 1, 10 and 11.
And while they looked on steadfastly for heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven.
So again, two men in white apparel. Now it doesn't say two white men. It says two men in white apparel. And so people ever like to talk about whether angels can be white or black or whatever. And come on in.
Ain't nobody
after. But these men, I assume, like the ones that visited Abraham, would have looked like the men of the Middle East. I believe they had looked like the people that they're visiting. So if there were angelic visits to, you know, places like, say, Colombia or the Philippines, I think they'd look like them. If they visited Ethiopia or, I don't know, whichever. You know, in South Africa, I guess they'd have to have a little bit of everything. It's white and black and everything in between. But I just assume that. But I can't say from Scripture. But the thing is, no one can. No one can say exactly whether these look like any particular race. But what we do know, I believe it's clear that when we are in our glorified bodies and when angels are in their glorified state, they don't look like any human race. They glow. They're children of light. When the Bible says we're children of light, it's not figurative. It's right now we are children of light in a spiritual sense, but when we're in our glorified bodies, we are literally glowing.
Yeah. Amen.
To your point, they probably look like people because in Hebrews 13:2 it says, thereby some have entertained angels unawares.
How are you going to be unawares?
If they're pink or purple or
have wings.
Great, you know, all that.
Or have big wings. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It
wouldn't be unaware.
Yeah.
You might notice.
So you can look up every reference to angels and not once will they be described as having wings.
Amen.
I actually did it one time.
Wow.
I didn't do it in one day either. Like I said, there's 283 references according to my search. We are not condemning those who paint or draw angels with wings so that people know that they're angels. I just want to make that clear.
Yeah.
There are artists who do that. And let me show you. I think I got here's Peter Ruckman. I don't think it hurts the message by the fact that those angels have wings on them. I think if you're focused on that and that's what you're getting out of that message, you got a real problem because there's a bigger message to be seen in that drawing. And then now this, I saw somebody criticizing this saying that the angels don't have wings. Well, that's supposed to be Lucifer and he's a cherub and he does have wings.
Yeah.
So Satan is a cherub and has wings. So it is biblically accurate to portray him that way. Yes.
Yeah, the guy that taught me how to do black light chalk pictures, believed, you know, that Christ had short hair, you know, based on what he studied out of Scripture. And so he started doing his chalk pictures with the Jesus with short hair. And so at the end of the picture, the people would say, who is that? Who is that?
Yeah.
And so he said, no. He said he used the long hair on there because I tried to reach the audience, not because it's biblical.
Yeah, and that's all subject, but I've looked at that and I don't buy it. I think that John Wesley probably had closer to what Jesus did, and he didn't have a fundamentalist haircut.
Well, I don't think that's what he meant. But
yeah, I mean, he didn't have the long, you know, he wouldn't have had like, you know, I haven't seen very many, but I've seen a couple of depictions of Jesus, and he's got like really long hair and everything. But I believe it was long and probably down to his shoulders. And they didn't have barbers, didn't have scissors, you know. They,
Jesse on
who?
That guy Jesse on that one called
the Earth. Maybe.
Not that long.
Yeah, possibly. But most of the old preachers before fundamentalists decided that hair over the ears and over the collar was evil, before that happened, most preachers had hair down to their shoulders. And they, a lot of times they'd pull it back and put it into a little ponytail and wear a hat. And we call them hippies today, but that was what those were the fire-breathing evangelists before, you know, the 20th century. Johnny?
Yeah, maybe this is maybe a little bit off topic, but I was thinking, we know that Lucifer is a cherubim.
Yeah, we're not done there.
Cherubims have four faces.
Yeah.
So I was just thinking, isn't it fitting that the most deceptive person in the world has four faces?
Yeah, it's not just two-faced.
Yeah,
he's four faces.
Yeah. But it really is unnecessary to follow, it's unnecessary to put wings on angels, even though I'm not condemning them. It's not really necessary, as the following pictures demonstrate. That's a much more biblical painting or rendering of what would have happened when they approached the empty tomb. Yeah. I think the tomb's off, but at least it's empty. And then, again, this would be much more biblical. I think that's more like what it was like. And So it's very interesting that these winged angels are so prevalent in the occult, in the New Age movement. And Muhammad saw a 600-foot or 700-foot-tall winged Gabriel and got the supposed to have gotten the Quran. I believe he had visions and things. I think he was possessed by the devil, foaming at the mouth and everything that he did. Then Joseph Smith, when he's supposed to have gotten the Book of Mormon, is another big winged being. Moroni, not moron, Moroni, the angel, false faith angel. Otherwise, we could just put ball caps on angels to identify them. You know, you draw a picture of an angel and just put that ball cap on them and everybody know who the angel is.
What,
I mean,
the Disney movie?
Huh?
There was a Disney movie, Angels in the Outfield.
Yeah, that's maybe that's what they were trying to do. Some refer to texts like this one to put wings on angels. Psalm 91:4, He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. The problem with that is, number one, this is talking about the Lord and not about angels. And number two, it's figurative. God doesn't literally have feathers. He's not a big chicken or, you know, hawk or anything.
Right, we created His image and we don't have feathers.
Yeah, that's right. And point number four, cherub have wings but are not angels, as we talked about just a moment ago. Look up, Jill, if you look at 1 Kings 6:27. 1 Kings 6:27, about cherubs and the fact that they are not angels, but they have wings. No pressure.
Oh. It's in there somewhere.
Yeah. I was tracing this. And he set the cherubims within the inner house, and they stretched forth the wings of the cherubims, so that the wing of the one touched the one wall, and the wing of the other cherub touched the other wall, and their wings touched one another in the midst of the house.
So they had wings, like three sets of wings. They were huge, and all this. And so, if you drew an angel and said, "Oh, that's a cherub," then it ought to have more wings than just two, because that's how cherub. And as Johnny said, they're not; they have four faces, at least the ones described for us. I love this one, 2 Samuel 22:11, and he rode upon a cherub, and did fly. And he was seen upon the wings of the wind. I want to see Jesus flying around riding on a cherub. That's going to be something. Says he does.
Did you mention they have six wings?
Yeah.
They just did.
Yeah.
I know, but that's Isaiah 6:2 right
here. Read it.
Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly.
Yeah.
I just like this.
Good. So it's fine to say cherub are angelic beings, but they are not angels. Technically, they're just not angels. And number five, cherubims minister at God's throne and not to us.
Amen.
It's a big difference. In Ezekiel 10, Jenny Albaugh, verses 1 through 4, and then we'll come back to Jenny Miller, is Ezekiel 10, 5 through 7, and back to Jim Oldham, Ezekiel 28, 13 through 15. So when you're there, Jenny, read Ezekiel 10, 1 through 4.
Then I looked, and behold, in the firmament that was above the head of the cherubims, there appeared over them, as it were, a sapphire stone, as the appearance of the likeness of a throne. And he spake unto the man clothed with linen, and said, Go in between the wheels, even under the cherub, and fill thine hand with coals of fire from between the cherubims, and scatter them over the city. And he went in in my sight. Now the cherubim stood on the right side of the house when the man went in, and the cloud filled the inner court.
Then, so it's all about the cherub around the throne. Do you read four?
Now I will. Then the glory of the Lord went up from the cherub and stood over the threshold of the house, and the house was filled with the cloud, and the court was full of the brightness of the Lord's glory.
So it's something else to be a cherub in a good way. And there you picture Satan there at the throne of God, and it wasn't good enough. He didn't want to be around the throne. He wanted to be on the throne. Read verses 5 through 7 there in Ezekiel 10, Jenny Miller.
And the sound of the cherubim's wings was heard even to the outer court as the voice of the Almighty God when he speaketh. And it came to pass that when he had commanded the man clothed with linen, saying, take fire from between the wheels, from between the cherubims. Then he went in and stood beside the wheels. And one cherub stretched forth his hand from between the cherubims unto the fire that was between the cherubims, and took thereof, and put it into the hands of him that was clothed with linen, who took it and went out.
Now don't ask me to explain everything going on there. What we do know is that's what the cherub do. And Brother Jim's going to read what happened with Satan when he was a cherub there in Ezekiel 28:13-15.
Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee.
You think of that. That's what Satan, Lucifer, gave up. Wasn't good enough for him. Can you imagine? Wasn't good enough for him. Many other texts describe the ministry of the cherubims at God's throne. Here's another one. Psalm 80, verse 1. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth.
Amen.
And then there's Psalm 99:1. The Lord reigneth, let the people tremble. He sitteth between the cherubims, let the earth be moved.
Amen.
And on, that's just a great... So in summary, number one, angels are ministering spirits. Number two, they minister to saints. Three, they serve Jesus. Four, they are male. And five, they do not have wings. And that's about angels. Now, I do want to say one thing about cherubs. I had somebody in the past say, well, here's one instance where the cherubims were ministering to people, and I had to point out this isn't ministering to people; this is threatening people.
Okay.
In Genesis 3:24, are you there?
Oh, I was. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, you're there. I'll go ahead and let you read that.
Okay.
Read verses 23 and 24 of Genesis 3.
Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So drove he out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims, and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life.
So that's not ministering to man. That's basically being used against man and threatening them. Yes.
Protecting his people so that they're not stuck forever alive and in sin.
Right, but it's not ministering to the people, it's ministering for the Lord. And I mean, it's like saying you're being invaded by an army. Oh, look at the wonderful ministers. Johnny?
Two things. First off, I don't know if I may have not noticed this before, but I think talking about what he put in front of Eden there looks like that's technically three beings. Because it sounds like the sword is pretty much doing its own thing, separate from the two cherubs.
Yeah, that's the way it's been depicted in some of the art.
But the other question was, does the Bible specify that the cherubims and seraphims both have six wings?
I don't think the seraphims are described like that, but we'll come to that in a future study. So keep that. Yeah, Mary?
Jenny, did you say that was Isaiah 6:2 earlier? Because that, in my mind, it said that was seraphim.
Oh, that's a seraphim.
Six wings.
Yep, I'm wrong.
Oh, well, was it?
So that's seraphims having six wings.
Yeah, but the cherubim are also described that way.
Not to find out, because I don't know.
Yeah. Says your answer there. Yeah, I was
you,
a little distracted, so I didn't realize. Thank you, Mary, because I didn't realize it was so much seraphim.
So in Revelation 4:8 it says the four beasts had each of them six wings round about, or six wings about him, and they were full of eyes.
Yeah.
Et cetera. So.
Yeah.
They say, holy, 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 Lord God.
Yeah, we're going to touch on all these in future studies. So we guard against error by knowing what God's Word says about angels.
Amen.
You got to understand, I just think some people are very nonchalant or whatever you want to say about it. When God has told us exactly what angels are, what they do, what they even appear like, and cherubim, seraphim, all these then you have to be careful when you see angels with wings and looking, especially like sensual women and all that kind of thing. There's something bad going on. And there's been a couple of ladies in the past and one Christian man in the past. They're all professing Christians. They're really into this angel stuff, but it was the wrong types of angels, and they had little figurines and paintings and all kinds of things, jewelry. And they didn't want to be told anything about what the Bible says about those things. And as time went on, they went further and further away from Bible-believing Christianity. And so I just think, in general, when you don't have an attitude of, I want to know what God says about fill in the blank, doesn't matter what it is. And if your attitude is to take it or leave it about what God says about fill in the blank, well, then that's a bad attitude for a professing Christian. And it's bad. It'll eventually lead to bad things.
Yeah.
So, and we will one day live among them. So that's an amazing thing to think about as well. And we're going to talk more about that in our study of angels and the saints. So, anybody got anything else you want to ask before we sing?
I think probably cherubs have two and seraphims. And here's 1 Kings 6.
Well, let me stop you. The description of the cherub given and read by Jill says they had six. They had the wings
in the temple?
Yeah. So we'll get back to that. We're not done with the study.
Interesting.
Yeah, the reason I brought up cherub tonight was to show there are angelic beings with wings.
Oh yes.
But they're not angels. Yes, Kim? Well, the biblical encounters include miraculous events, but are usually involved with the lineage of Jesus. But not always. Remember Hagar. Ishmael isn't in the lineage of the Messiah, but yet an angel came to Hagar. Then there are other... So, most of the time in the scripture, if a person is ever, I'll put it this way, there's two different types of visitations. There's angelic visitations where they announce that they are, but they're in their white raiment and glowing, so they kind of, It's obvious. I believe there are, though, as Hebrews suggests, angels unawares. So there's times where angels are on assignment. That's why I said, like, highway to heaven, touched by an angel. They pick up on a biblical truth that there are angels among us. I believe that. But I don't believe that they're on the assignment type of assignments that you saw in those shows a lot of times. And I believe when we get to heaven, we're liable to find out how many times an angel was involved in something, maybe kept us or someone else we know from being harmed.
Yeah.
Or who knows what, you know, there's anything like that. God uses them in that way. And maybe even God just sends them along to people just to put an opportunity to see what we'd do with it. I'm not saying that, say somebody's broken down the side of the road or somebody's homeless, you know, and you offer to help them in some way. You know, you may find out that was an angel. Most of the time I don't think that's the case, but that's why you don't give them cash. That's not the right way to help them. The right way to help them is invite them in Columbus, Ohio, invite them to Charity Mission where they can start over and get to know the Lord and all that. And that's what I've done over the years many times, and they just never take you up on it. And I'll buy a guy a meal, but I won't give him cash. And I thought it was a good alternative. Jenny and I were talking about this the other day. This is going way back, but McDonald's had this little cardboard, almost like a gift certificate, but they were just little business card for $5 or whatever. So I bought a bunch of those and have them in my wallet. And when I'd come across these homeless guys downtown, I'd give them a gospel tract and give them one of those little cards. Well, I found out later they'd sell the cards.
Yeah.
And they'd sell the $5 card for $3. So the person buying it was getting a deal and they were getting their cash, and then it went to bad things. So I stopped doing that. But I'll buy a guy a meal and have him sit down and eat with him and witness to him. But they usually won't take that. Most of the time when I've offered that, they don't take me up on it. Yeah, John?
It's just a fun thing that I have found. There's at least one place in the Bible that does have a female being that has wings.
The stork.
Yeah, wings like the stork. Yeah. Well, that probably would look pretty much like those pictures did.
Yeah.
It's just not...
Not an angel.
Yes.
Yeah.
Something else.
And we'll get to that. That's an interesting... We'll get to that. Sure. All right, page 54. By request of the anniversary family, Jesus is the only way to heaven.
There are so many people in this world.
Jesus died for our sins. In 3 days he rose.
All right. Get your prayer request in, long-liners. And get your cards up in the air, and Janie will come back and get them. Get your cards up in the air and wave them like you do care. As we say goodbye on three, one, two, three. See you here, there, or in the air.
Bye, guys.
Good night, everybody.